You may be seated. You know, there's sometimes when people want to get up on stage and I don't let them up here. And so one of them asked me, what if I fly 10,000 miles away and come back and talk about it? So where are my friends? Yes. I know you never get to come up here, John and Justin. You know, how fitting to have a father and son on Father's Day right up here. So that is great. So I said you traveled 10,000 miles away. First, tell us what you did and what did you see God doing?
Yeah, we traveled to Mongolia, just north of China. So they're 13 hours ahead of us. As you can imagine, we're still getting used to our time zone. But yeah, it was very special to be there with my dad. I've been over there a couple other times. Last time was 2014. And just to see what God has been doing there in the last 10 years was pretty special. When I was there in 2014, they didn't have a whole lot of missionary staff, but now they have athletes in action staff from Mongolia, and they provided a lot of discipleship with us. So we brought a team of wrestlers from all over the U.S., God really provided a lot of extra wrestlers. We thought we were only going to bring three, and kind of last minute, there was nine wrestlers plus my dad and I. So they really got along really well, even though they were from different ages, college guys, high school wrestlers, but they got along really well, and they took a lot of initiative to get to know these Mongolian wrestlers, make connections. They did a lot of trading of clothing. That's a big thing over there, trading singlets for other singlets or shirts. So you can see mine I got from another coach over there. Really special to be able to make those connections. And my biggest highlight, what I saw the Lord really doing, you know, we had a week-long camp, and it was just a big build-up to the nightly program at night. I mean, we would have wrestling practice. We'd have morning workout up in the mountains. You know, we'd be hiking up there. Great meals. Yeah, as you can see, just the setting was incredible. So the build-up to the nightly program, every night for five nights, we got to really share the story of creation, the fall, and God's plan of redemption. And the last night, we invited them to put their faith in Christ. And 16 Mongolian wrestlers put their faith in Jesus.
Yeah, we had those nine wrestlers, one from Alaska, one from New Mexico, one from Texas, two from Oklahoma, guy from Indiana, and then, of course, Minnesota and Wisconsin. Special way that God brought those guys together. For me, the highlight was having been there the first time in 1992, bringing the Jesus film there. There were fewer than 25 believers in the country. Now, maybe as many as 40,000. That doesn't sound like much to us, but God is at work. And my desire for you would be to pray for Mongolia like we need to pray for our own country. COVID had a huge effect on the churches there. There was only one small church in 92. Now there are 300 in the country. But most of those churches, 100 people or less. During COVID, half of them left. Cults are a huge problem over there. When you've got a lot of first-generation believers, Paul warned that wolves would come in sheep's clothing. And so that's happening in that country. And I'm so thankful that the Campus Crusade staff, I got to spend extra time with them this time. And they are working to help churches do more discipleship to grow the believers in him. So my morning reading this morning, I was reading in Acts where Paul said, when he went to the Jews, they didn't want to hear about Jesus. And he said, so I'm going to the Gentiles so that the gospel will be brought to the ends of the earth. And so it's more than 10,000 miles to Mongolia. It's the end of the earth. The actual other side of the world. But God is at work, and we're just so thankful that he lets us to be a part of it. And so it was special being there with my son. I didn't have to. I didn't have to do near as much work as I usually did because he was the leader.
All right. So let's pray. Let's pray for the ministry there in Mongolia, and we're very, very grateful for you to be able to share with us. Heavenly Father, you're the God who put this world here. You put people on it. The nations were divided, and Mongolia still has your eyes focused on it. You have been multiplying your church over these years. It's so good to hear about how you're raising up new believers, and you're bringing the believers that are there to be more faithful to you. We do pray for your protection over that very infantile church in Mongolia, that it would be able to stand firm, that it would stand true to your word, that it would be able to say no to the cults, the errors that are brought in, that they would be able to multiply, not themselves, but multiply the gospel in a way that they develop disciples who raise up more disciples and raise up still more. Lord, multiply your church in that country. Thank you for John and Justin and the rest who are able to bring your truth to them. Thank you for the many who came to know you as Savior. God, I pray you continue to echo that work over the next days, weeks, and months that was done there. And those that remain will be able to build on the foundation that is there. Thank you, Lord, that we, even in praying now, can have a part in shaping the world more than 10,000 miles away. We're grateful for it, Lord Jesus. We pray it in your name. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for praying for us. Thanks for sending us.
You know, yeah. Just changing gears a little bit, you know, Father's Day is one of those special holidays that sneaks up. You know, Mother's Day does, and then you think you're done with all these, and then Father's Day shows up. If you were on a church staff trying to remember Father's, oh yes, Father, what are we going to do about Father's Day? Perhaps you might respond this way.
Jill!
Yes, yes, sir. Hi. I was just passing by. It's like every time you call, I'm here.
Hey.
Just by chance, though.
Quick question.
Yeah.
What are we doing for Father's Day?
Is that this week?
It's this Sunday.
I totally forgot. Oh, no. Okay.
We have nothing planned.
No.
Okay, but Mother's Day, we had that whole welcome package. We have the step and repeat banner. Made those poems for the women. We raffled off a spa package. I'm a dad. I would like a spa weekend.
I think you would love it.
And then we did a whole sermon series encouraging all the women and building them up.
Yeah.
And we don't have anything for the dads?
Well, I mean, Pastor Jimmy did say that he would do a sermon just basically about how men need to be better, you know? You know, he's just going to shame them and basically make them feel bad about themselves. He does it every year, you know. I guess it's easy to make men just feel like they need to improve.
Shouldn't we also then tell women to improve because they're equal?
Yes, we just don't really respond like well to criticism.
Okay, well then just tell Pastor that if we encourage the women, which I'm supportive of, by the way, let's also just maybe encourage the men.
I love that!
Let's do that.
Okay, so I'll tell Pastor Jimmy.
Thank you.
To encourage the men.
Yes.
Yeah, we just want the men to like step up, but like by being a servant, and we want them to listen, but also talk more and plan things, you know, but be spontaneous and spend less time at work, but make more money, get in better shape, but be present with their families and, you know, like take the reins, but like not from us. Now that I say that out loud, it's not great.
That is confusing.
Yeah.
We don't have to do anything Father's Day. Now that you mentioned all that stuff, it is kind of, that would be a lot for men.
Let's just scrap that whole.
I tell you what, let's just have all the fathers stand up and be recognized.
So dads, how about if you stand up right here? Stand up right where you are. Hey. Hey, stay standing. Stay standing. Heavenly Father, I pray that you, as the Father, that you would lead these fathers to be the kinds of men that you call them to be. That they can be the kinds of fathers who can influence their sons and daughters to follow you, to live wisely, to walk humbly with their God, and to be men who themselves are able to raise up true men, godly men, who follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the privilege of being dads and giving us as a congregation the privilege of enjoying those who you've given to us. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. And men, did you receive something when you came in? You didn't. You'll receive something as you go out. They must still be sitting in the office. Hey, Angela, would you lead us?
Well, indeed, happy Father's Day. It's great to have all of you with us here this morning. I'm Pastor Tony, one of the pastors here, and I have the opportunity to give a few announcements before we turn to the Word and hear our message from Pastor Jeff this morning. So welcome to any new people who are coming and checking Maranatha out, any first-time visitors or newer attenders. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love for Maranatha to be that for you. If you have questions, grab one of us on staff or any of the elders. We'd love to answer any questions you have. We do have little Connect cards. We all both have the digital version. You can scan the QR code in the bulletin and fill that out. Let us know that you're here and you're interested in maybe getting connected, or fill out one of the physical cards and you can drop that in the offering box in the back. That helps us to be able to just follow up with you and help you get connected in. So please help us with that. The offering box there is in the back. We're finishing up our fiscal year, and it's been a good year. God is very great, good to us, and we're grateful to Him for His provision and for all of you and those of you who are regular attenders, and this is your church home, for your faithfulness and giving to the work of the ministry. There'll be more information on that at our annual business meeting, which I'll mention that in a minute here as well. Thank you for your support. If you're newer to Maranatha, please know that we do have a nursery out in the hallway here to your right when you go out through the lobby. That's available for children up through 24 months old. But also, once the sermon starts here in a moment, if you have preschoolers that are needing to move around a little more, that's okay. We have a preschool room that uses the conference room down at the end of the hallway. That's for during the sermon time. And there's also activity bags if that's helpful for your families. VBS is coming very quickly, a week from tomorrow. Yeah, we're excited for VBS to start. Thank you to John and Simone and the whole team of others who are helping in preparing for that. Please continue to join us in praying that God would use this. We see this as a great ministry to our families, but certainly it's a key ministry to those who don't yet know Jesus. And so please help us with that. So I did ask a few helpers. We have these little invite cards. So if you have neighbors, you know, children in your neighborhood, if you have children who are in sports teams and they have teammates, if you are willing to take a couple little cards, some of my helpers will walk around. If you think you could hand out a few this final week to get a few more people signed up, that would be great. So just catch their attention, and if we run out, we can print some more of those. Happy to do that as well. The annual business meeting, as I alluded to, it's going to be coming up July 19th. So please make sure that is marked on your calendar. Everyone is welcome to attend. Members are strongly encouraged to be there to participate and to vote. The elders have some proposed amendments to the bylaws that were emailed out this past week. Did anyone see those? Few of you, great. If you did not see those, make sure you check. If you're a member, make sure you check your inbox, check your spam folder. Sometimes they end up there as well. If you aren't really an email person, don't really use email, we did actually mail a few copies out to those people, but also I have about 10 copies at the welcome desk, physical copies of those also. If you have any questions about anything in there, please contact one of the elders. Be glad to talk through that with you. And one of my favorite things to do is welcome new members. And this morning we have an opportunity to do that. Avery and Michelle Uhlenhop, they completed the process of membership that our bylaws lay out. And they finished that here, and the elders voted it here earlier in June. And they love all of you so much that they travel here from Hayward. So that's how much they've found this church to be a great church, and that's your to your credit. So thanks for being an awesome church, and we want to welcome them in. Did we have a picture? Perfect. Awesome. So let's welcome them as new members. And with that, I invite Pastor Jeff to come on up and bring the word this morning.
It's even better to be heard. And it's very, very good to be here. You're going to see on the screen in just a moment the picture of the five stages that we're walking through as a church. We've gone through stage one, which is kind of my wife and I just listening to a lot of people. Input about the church. We're in stage two, where we've put together a transition team that has been developing a lot of information about where the church has been and where the church is, and considering where it will be going. That is why this next Sunday morning at 10:30, not 10:45, but at 10:30, as many as want to hear about it, are going to be part of one of the most exciting hours you've ever heard in the history of the church. I titled it, The Assessment Report. Now, we're going to be describing where the church has been, its history, what brought it to where it is now, and then making recommendations going into the future about how to move forward as a church to be as healthy a church as possible before we call the next pastor. And so I invite you next Sunday morning. I am promising that the sermon will be shorter, and we will get out by 10. You'll grab your donuts and be down here by 10:30, and we'll jump in. Got that? All right. Hey, let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are a good God. You are a great Savior. You are the good shepherd. You're the one who watches over your church, your people. And thank you so very much that we can celebrate you together this morning, that we can think about together what it means being part of this kind of family. So lead us as we consider these things together, we pray. Jesus, in your good name, amen. This last Friday, Joan and I did something that I have never done before. I watched an entire soccer match on TV. The entire thing, from beginning to end, the Americans versus the Australians. And what was fun for Joan and me is that it was being played in the Seattle Stadium, where we have watched the world champion, Super Bowl winning Seattle Seahawks play. So that was especially good to be able to do. 32 million viewers around the world watching that match. There were 65,925 fans in the stands. So you have 52 players on the field, many of whom were dead tired after running for 90 minutes. And in the stands, 66,925 fans with raspy voices. The 52 on the field were part of the action. The 67,000 who watched the show were happy to cheer on the winning team. The 52 had joined in the game. The 66,925 were just sitting in. After watching that, I thought about how much that may be like the church. Many people show up at church on Sunday mornings and go home in a good mood if the pastor had a winning sermon. Just pray for it. Yeah. Others are part of the action, and they head home having been engaged in the action itself. Many have made it known that they are all in the whatever church that they are part of. Others show up and you're not really certain whether they can be counted on to be there when the team that's been on the field is getting tired. This morning I want to encourage all of us to be players on the field rather than just fans in the stands. And I want to encourage those that have been players in the field to understand how much you have as having that kind of commitment, that kind of involvement. I want those who aren't yet committed players on the field to appreciate what could be. Why talk about that today? Well, for a couple of reasons. Like next Sunday morning, we're going to be looking at some of the ups and downs in the past of the church. We're going to look at very transparently, very honestly, where we've been and why we've been there and what for is as a result of it. We're going to be looking toward the future about what kinds of steps we'll be looking at doing next. And the relationship you have with the church we're talking about really does shape the way you might even respond to what is being said next week, next Sunday. Next month, there are team members of Maranatha who will get a chance to be able to evaluate and vote on changes in some of the rules. We call them bylaws, but the rules by which this game is played. Those who aren't team members don't get to do that. And then down the line, team members get to vote on the individual who will be presented as a potential next pastor in this church. And if you're not a team member, you don't get to be part of that decision. So, and that's part of the reason why I'm talking about that. But beyond just getting to vote once in a while, the most important question is this. Does the Bible actually speak to, does it teach anything about to us about being team members of a church? The answer to that question is a great big yes, it does. It really does. So this morning, we're going to see what the Bible says about us being members of a church, members of a team, to be one who's joining in and not just standing in. You're going to see that membership in a local church is God's way of living out the Christian life in a community and doing it together. God wants us to worship Him, to walk with Him, to work with Him. He wants us to witness for Him, and the context in which we do all of that best is a local church. Church is the community in which God lives through us and loves through us to one another. So with all that said, what we're going to do is we're going to look at church membership for four different angles. First, we're going to talk about it from a biblical direction, and then some practical reasons, and then some personal reasons for church membership. Now, the reality is probably few of you have ever heard a sermon about church membership. Probably have not. Ask me how many sermons I've ever preached on church membership, and including this one, it's one. That's the truth. I don't think I've ever really talked about it in front of a church before. But we're going to start with biblical reasons for church membership. First, and you're taking notes, this is number one on your notes for the obsessive ones who have to make sure that every blank is filled in. I've started the line for you. First reason, biblical reason for being a member in a church, Jesus saves individuals, but He builds churches. Jesus saves individual people, but He builds churches. In Matthew 16, 18, you see this. Jesus said, "I will build my church." Now, when Jesus used that word church, it means a group of people who've been drawn together, called out, and drawn together to engage in a specific purpose. It was just a word that was used in that day. It's kind of like if in the day of Jesus, they had baseball stadiums. And you might go watch the Brewers play, and that identified you as a group of persons separated from others, joining together for a specific purpose, to cheer on the Brewers. Anybody say amen? Whew, bunch of loser Brewer fans. So, see, Jesus took that term, ecclesia, church, and said this, I'm going to draw people together out of the world, and they're going to be my people gathered together for my specific purpose. Jesus intends for every Christian to be able to belong to a visible, a functioning local church body. That's what He intends. Together we are loving one another. Together we are worshiping Him together. That is our mission. Together we are making Him known to the world. Together. That's what we are about. So when we talk about church membership, that's what Jesus is building still today. Second, when we think about church membership, from the very start, Christians were being added to identifiable local churches. from the very start of the Big C Church, Christians were becoming part of the individual little c churches, identifiable local churches. As an example, the very first church, the very first church in Acts chapters 2 and 5. By the way, there'll be a lot of verses here. Just trust me that I got them somewhere close on the screen. Acts chapter 2, 42 and 47. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and for fellowship. The Lord was constantly adding to their numbers, to the number multitudes daily. The point is this. The very first church knew exactly who the members were and how many members there were. They even counted the people that were gathering. You see that a couple of places in Acts. As a result, there was a commitment, there was an accountability, there was shared worship, there was fellowship amongst these people who were part of an identified local congregation. And the same happens in the book of Acts when you look at the church in Colossae, church in Philippi, the church in Antioch, the church in Corinth, and every other one of the New Testament churches. The believers were all part of Big C Church that Jesus is building worldwide. But every one of those believers was part of an identifiable, committed part of an identifiable local body of believers. Third, the Bible describes the church as a body. The church as the body. 1 Corinthians, yeah, you've read it. You are Christ's body, Paul wrote, and each of you is a part of it. We belong to him, we belong to each other. Paul is making a case for the fact that Christians are not to be independent body parts operating independently, operating alone. You don't get ears laying on the sidewalk not connected to a body unless that ear has a problem. You don't get a brain without it being held inside a head. You don't get arms and legs flopping around on sidewalks going nowhere because they can't. You need the whole body together to be able to go forward, to accomplish anything. Rather, we are to connect ourselves as members of Christ's body and commit ourselves to interdependence. We really do need each other. Every part of the body. Body parts take care of each other. The right hand brushes the hair unless you're left-handed and you do it wrong. The knees make sure that the foot comes up when it's supposed to and moves forward when it is supposed to run. Without all the parts working together, without all the parts committed to working together, then the body can't really go anywhere. And church membership is just a way that says, I am part of this body working together to get somewhere, to accomplish something. I belong to a group of people, not just every group of people. A fourth thing to notice. Fourth thing to notice about church membership when it comes to biblical foundation. Pastors. Where'd I go? Oh, yeah. So I even get lost up here. Pastors are to shepherd an identifiable, a definable flock. For 5 months, we looked at a letter written to one pastor of one church. His name was Timothy. Peter wrote to pastors. And to the pastors, Peter wrote, shepherd the flock of God that's among you. That is, shepherd the flock of God that surrounds you, the local body which you are part of, among you. Pastors don't shepherd every Christian in every church, but do those who are part of their local church. On a practical level, how do I know I have permission to shepherd you unless you say that you are actually part of the church that I am called to shepherd. How do I know that? How do the elders in a church know whether you're actually signed on or just sitting in? Over the years, I've gone to people who I needed to talk to because either I had seen something in their life or they were doing something, you realize, you know, someone who belongs to Jesus Christ shouldn't be living in this way. And when I got to them and talked with them, usually I would try to do as lovingly as possible and as kindly as possible, but I would share with them what I'm seeing and encourage them that you know, the Lord might want to work in that area of their life. And usually they listened, but I do remember once or twice coming to a man, talking to him about an issue, and he said, you know, Pastor, I really, really great that you care about me and all, but I'm not a member of your church. He had been there for years. I'm not a member of your church. So how do we know who we can shepherd, who has given us permission to shepherd? That's the pastors. We're called the shepherd. Elders are called the shepherd. But what about the church members? The writer of Hebrews wrote this, Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders, submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. Folks, that's what shepherding is. These commands from Scripture make sense both to pastor and members only if the members are meaningfully connected to one another and identifiable spiritual leadership. If there's identifiable connection between the leaders that the writer of Hebrews is talking about and those who are part of the church. You don't obey leaders of other churches. They can suggest all they want, but you don't obey leaders of every other church. Only of the leaders who are leading you would you actually need to listen to. That's where church membership helps identify clearly what the relationship is. Church membership is about knowing who your sheep are and you knowing who your shepherds are. And membership is about a mutual commitment of shepherds and sheep to each other. It only makes sense. There's a fifth biblical foundation when it comes to membership in a local church. That's this. Spiritual accountability requires membership. It is much like I just said, but the reality is like number four of the previous. Jesus said in the Gospels that every now and then there's going to be issues between people in a church. There have been problems between people in a church. Now, of course, that would never happen at doctrinally sound, godly Maranatha. But other churches is what Jesus would know. Look at the person next to you and realize, yep, they're not perfect either. Okay, so issues could happen even at a church like this. Problems do come up. Problems come up between believers. Listen to what Jesus said. He said in Matthew 18, if your brother sins, go talk to him privately. If he refuses, take one or two others. But if he still refuses, tell it to the church. You bring a church family into the process of keeping this Christian from going wrong and making sinful decisions. What church family does that? The local church family. Churches aren't very good at this. And we don't want to grow real good at it because we don't want to have a whole lot of people in churches that are having issues, spiritual issues. But Jesus is just saying this, if your fellow believer sins, tell him in private if he's doing wrong, and if he refuses, eventually it may need to go to a whole church because they have committed themselves to him and he to them for spiritual accountability. Paul picks up that same theme in 1 Corinthians 5, and he says that after a while, if this person simply tells you and Jesus get lost, Paul says, then expel that sinning believer from among yourselves. Here's the deal. A church cannot take these kinds of spiritual accountability, spiritual discipline matters seriously. We can't actually do them unless there is an identifiable group of people who have said, I am in. I am fully in. I'm part of this body. I'm under the leadership of God's shepherds, and I want to be everything that Jesus wants me to be. The shepherds in the church cannot see that kind of accountability happens. We can't hold one another accountable. We don't have that opportunity unless we know who the sheep are and the sheep know who the shepherds are. Those are core biblical reasons. Core biblical reasons for membership in the local church. This, those reasons suggest to me that this idea of church membership is not some newfangled idea that was invented in the last few years, last few hundred years. This is something that Scripture just presumes, it kind of lays out. But there are also some practical reasons. The first practical reason is this: membership creates spiritual stability. Membership creates spiritual stability. It does that in every one of us. Today, more people feel isolated and lonely in our world than ever. But it is mostly through a church where they can find connection with people, where Jesus Christ can shape the kinds of relationships so people don't have to go through this alone. Ephesians 2, the writer said this: Christians, you are fellow citizens with all of the rest of God's people. You are members of God's household. Church membership is a very practical way of saying, this is my spiritual family. These are my people. These are my people. People with no spiritual family become less and less faithful. That's just the way it works. If you're not involved in the local body, then faithfulness is almost impossible to maintain. Now, you've heard the old illustration. You got this ingot of fire in the fireplace, and it's burning away, but you pull that one coal away from the rest of the fire, and in time, it just starts fading away, and the fire burns out. That's what happens so many times with people in churches. When they're not truly connected in an ongoing way with the family of the church, it starts to lose the fire. There are a lot of people who have been here at Maranatha a long time. And even though there have been challenges, they've hung in there. They have experienced, they've seen, they've been part of the ups and the downs. And they've hung in here through thick and thin as part of this church. Even when they didn't disagree with decisions that have been made, they've hung in there. And if you were to ask them, why have you stuck when this and this and this happened, and somebody said this and this and this, and really their answer back to you is, this is our church family. These are my people. Why would we go anywhere else? That's what church membership is designed to do, create that kind of spiritual stability. Second practical reason, it clarifies our personal responsibility. It clarifies what Jesus calls us to do as responsible believers. Romans 14 says this, writing to Christians who are members of a local church in Rome, Paul said, you Christians in Rome, make every effort to make peace with each other and to build one another up in the things of Christ. Spiritual membership clarifies who can be counted on to build one another up. It defines who shares in that church's mission. Without membership, churches can become mere crowds rather than families, rather than caring families. And you don't just want to be part of a crowd. You want to be part of the family. That's what Jesus' heart is for a church. We walk in on Sunday morning and say hi to people, that greet us in the foyer, and bounce into people, and the typical thing is saying, yeah, how you doing today? And we all put on that face, and we all say, hey, even if our world is dying in the background, we say, hey, I'm fine. How you doing, dude? That's what you do if you're part of a crowd. But if you're part of a church, if you're committed to that body, then you discover that those are people who love you, who care about you, and they may even pray for you right there, or right here. And we see it every week. You don't just want to be part of a crowd. People pray for each other. The third practical reason for being a member: membership makes life-changing ministry happen. He makes life-changing ministry happen. Jesus isn't our mascot. He's our master. You aren't called to be spectators in a church. You're called to be on the field, a participant in the action. I don't expect anybody here, but maybe the staff, to be here 40 hours a week. Staff, 60 hours for you. You know, if you were to do that, you couldn't hold down a job. What I'm talking about is participating. If only you have a little time, then give a little time. If you only have a little money, then give a little money. It's not about the amount, it's about the heart. Church membership says, I will contribute what I can do. Helping believers be more faithful to Christ as we help unbelievers come to faith in Christ. That's why Peter wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, everyone should use whatever gift he has received in serving one another. And we're all here to share our time, our talents, our treasure, and our testimony. And as a part of the family of this church, get incredible opportunities to do that together. Church membership is not just about being able to vote when something important comes along. It is about relationships that build one another up so that we can become more like Jesus. It's about being known and knowing others. It's about being loved. It's about celebrating. It's about worshiping. It's about sharing life together. I'm just describing what the scriptures say it can be, and that many of you so much appreciate. That's what it's about. Have you ever heard of the thing that's called the Pando Forest in Utah? Anybody seen that? It's an amazing thing. I heard about this actually a few years ago. It is a forest of 47,000 aspen trees in Utah. 47,000 trees over 106 acres. But the special thing about this forest is all the aspen trees there share one root system. One single root system. In essence, the entire forest is one tree with shoots coming up out of the ground all over. That's what that is. Some believe it is the oldest living organism on planet Earth. Even older than me, if you can imagine. The oldest living organism, and it may be, it truly is, the largest single living thing on planet Earth, as a single thing. When I heard about that forest, it made me think about what the Church of Jesus Christ is and it could be. The Bible says we have one head, Jesus Christ. There's one church, that's all the parts combined. The worldwide church, big C, is all around the world, but it has all these shoots coming up in various local locations all around the world that each and in themselves need to grow and to develop and multiply more. If that is true, it's important for us to think about what it means to be a member, a part of the, not just the big C church, but the local church, the small C church. We've seen biblical reasons, I've described practical reasons, now just two personal reasons. One, membership enhances our personal spiritual growth. It enhances our being able to grow in Jesus. Hebrews 10 says this, that the Bible tells us, let us consider. Now pause on that word consider. That word consider in the original language means to think really, really hard about something. To consider from every angle possible. To think about it so deeply that there's smoke coming out of your ears. You're thinking about it so you're getting the idea. Consider, think, dig into. Think really hard about how to motivate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking your own gathering together. That word motivation is just like the word consider. It means get things stirred up, get action going, get people around you moving. So the writer of Hebrews is simply saying, don't stop meeting together as a local church. Make it a priority. And when you're a part of that local church, think hard about, work hard toward helping your brothers and sisters to grow in their own spiritual lives, to be people who listen to the word, people who obey the word, people who grow in fellowship, people who worship together, people who hold each other accountable. Work hard at that as part of a church. It's all about encouragement to become more like Jesus. That's what we're here for. You don't become more like Jesus just by warming your back end on a church pew. Am I supposed to say that in church? You do become more like Jesus when you minister, when we minister to each other in the name of Jesus. Growing in Jesus doesn't just happen in isolation. It always happens in community, which is why we read in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, folks, here's a command, grow up. He says in a positive way, grow up in every way to be more like Christ, who is the head of the whole body, as each individual part contributes to the growth of the whole body. Being a defined part of a local church helps you to become more and more like Jesus. If you're not a defined part of a local church, it is much, much harder. And the second reason. Membership in a local church commits us to a selfless life of love. Jesus said in John 13, the more we love each other, the more people will see that he is real. I want to read something for you as I close. It shows this in real life. Ann Kimmel, back in the 1970s, she was a youth pastor in a Nazarene church. She wrote a little book called I'm Out to Change My World. I think a lot of people my age are very familiar with that book. The last chapter is about a man named John. I want to read that last chapter for you. It will take 3 or 4 minutes. She writes this. You know you just can't stop love. No, love crushed barriers. Love breaks and builds bridges. Love finds a way through. It never gives up. It's hard work. It listens. Love walks 10 extra miles. Love is something you do. Jesus did it for me. He died to set me free. He lives to share my life with me, and I go to his and to my people, this church, and love wins. So there's this one kid. His name is John. John walked around with his head down all the time. He never looked at you in the eye, and if you ever got close to him, he had a tendency to shake or to shudder. One day when John wasn't there at youth group, I said to the kids, hey, let's try an experiment. Let's really, really love John. I mean, really love him as we've never loved anyone else. Let's just see what love can do for John. Now, this is what you've got to know. John was the most inhibited, one of the most insecure kids I've ever known in my entire life. But from that moment on, as a group, we asked Jesus to help us love John. Every time he came into a room, everyone wanted to sit by John. We sent him letters. We wrote him notes during the week. We stopped by to buy him a Coke. And after 6 months of loving John, all the kids in the youth group started getting tired of doing it. They said to me, Ann, you don't know what it's like to try to love John. You call him at home to try to ask how his week is going, and he says, okay. And says nothing else. You said, I'm thinking, the kids would say, I'm thinking about you and love you, and he just kind of grunts. Ann writes, but I'll never forget the morning when we were all gathered together in church. And suddenly, John smiled. We'd never seen John smile, but with an ear-to-ear grin, he really smiled. And 2 weeks later, when he laughed out loud, it nearly blew our minds. No one wanted John to notice, but they were all trying to signal me. Had I heard? Had I noticed? John laughed. He really laughed. We'd never heard him laugh before. It was 3 weeks later that his mom, who was not a Christian, none of his family were Christians, she called me and she said, "Hey, Ann, last weekend we were up in the mountains as a family camping. Our son John, who is 16, was there. And Ann, I've never seen him cry since he was 5 years old. But he started to cry and sob and bawl. And after 4 hours as his mom, I'm frantic. And I'm asking him over and over again, 'Why are you crying like this?' And all he could say was, 'Mom, I'm such a failure. I'm such a flop.' And finally it dawned on me. So I said, 'John, it's got to be that church you're going to. They're not treating you right there.' And he said to me, his mom, as he shook his head vehemently, 'No, Mom, no. They're my only hope. They love me there.' And the mom told me, it seemed like the minute John said that, the minute he came out and shared with me, he began to dry his tears. And he straightened his back, and he held his head high. And it seemed to me, Ann, John has never been the same since. And in that group, John began to laugh a lot. He began to share conversational prayer when we prayed. He began to bring a friend on Sunday and more friends the next Sunday. And he became the best softball player our church ever had. Yeah, for the first time in his life, John had the courage to play at sports. You see, love changed John's life. The love of Jesus. She finishes, "You can build a wall or you can build a bridge to everyone you meet. I'm out to build bridges. Are you? Will you come with me and build bridges of love with me?" That's all we want to do. That's who we want to be here at Maranatha. Men and women who see lives changed because we're showing the genuine love of Jesus to everybody here and to people in our community. We want to build bridges of love both within this church and to the community so that people can come to faith in Christ and experience the kind of life that Jesus intends for us, so the believers can be nudged to be even more faithful to Jesus. So I'm encouraging you, don't just sit in and listen. Sign on. You who are members of Maranatha, you understand a lot of that. You're also saying, "Oh man, I wish we could see more," and we can. If you're not part of the church, if you're not signed on, this whole message is not just to tell you, "Hey, we've got a membership class perhaps for you," but it is to say there is so much that you could experience as a part of the team on the field who truly gets to play the whole game. It often takes an extended time to become a member of Maranatha, but if we have a sufficient number, we can see that happen. It's a class. It's a questionnaire, and it's an interview. But if the Lord is speaking to you this morning, then we've got a sign-up sheet on the desk out there. And for those that are members, before we leave today, hug another member. Don't hug non-members. I better stop talking. Let's pray. Jesus, we've talked about a very practical thing. A thing that you laid out in saying that you would build your church. And yeah, we usually think of that as the large church, but we're just one of your trees here from the one root. We want to be all that you intend for us to be, those that nudge each other toward growth, encourage each other toward loving you, helping each other be accountable to what you have called us to, and being lovers, lovers of one another. Oh, it's so good to be believers in a family that enjoy each other. It's so good to know you as the God who has brought us together. It's so good to be able to say, oh, I'm a part of a, not just a group, but part of a family. Thank you that you have called us and that we are able to fulfill all of that calling that you give us in this place. Jesus, we thank you for it in your great name. Amen.